This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be providing an interview, an excellent interview, between two great leaders. We've got Angela Yocum, the Executive Vice President and Chief Transformation Digital Officer at Novant Health, and Sanjeev Agrawal, the President and Chief Operating Officer at LeanTOS. I'll give you a little background on Novant Health and LeanTOS, and then they'll jump into the interview and the discussion of what they're talking about today. Novant Health is one of the great regional healthcare systems in the United States. It also is one of the largest medical groups in the U.S. Angela and her team oversees growth initiatives and delivers world-class consumer service capabilities, great technologies, advanced clinical solutions that all allow the integrated system to provide remarkable patient care. Novant is truly a remarkable healthcare system. Angela's had an extensive and magnificent career. She was Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Rent-A-Center, Global CIO at BDP International, Global Chief Technology Officer at AstraZeneca, and Division CIO at Dell. She's held tech exec roles at Bank of America and SunTrust, and held senior technology roles at UPS and IBM. She's also an independent director with many global and national organizations like Zurich American International Group, and she was formerly with the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh. She also co-chairs the executive team of the Go Red for Women Charlotte organization, which is part of the American Heart Association, and an advisory member of the American Hospital Association Innovation Council. She's also an advisory member of the University of Tennessee Tickle School of Engineering, the UT Electrical Engineering and Computer Science Department, and the North Carolina Chamber College of Computing and Informatics. She's on the board of Freedom School Partners and a trustee of the Regional Business Alliance. Angela has a Bachelor's of Music from DePauw University and a Master of Science in Computer Sciences from the University of Tennessee. She holds three patents and is also an author with Addison Wesley and Prentice Hall. So that's Angela. And then working with Angela today in this interview will be Sanjeev Agrawal. Sanjeev was Google's first head of product marketing. Since then, he has led three successful startups. He was CEO at Aloga, acquired by Motorola, VP of products and marketing at TellMe Networks, acquired by Microsoft, and founder and CEO at CollegeFeed, acquired by After College. Sanjeev is a brilliant gentleman. Graduated Phi Beta Kappa with an EECS degree from MIT and also spent time at McKinsey and Cisco Systems. He's a frequent speaker at HIMSS, EBPOM, Predictive Analytics World, and other industry events. He also writes on his personal blog. He's an avid squash player and has been named by Becker's Hospital Review and Becker's Healthcare as one of the top entrepreneurs innovating in healthcare. With that, let me launch into the discussion between Angela and Sanjeev. Thank you so much for listening to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thanks, Angela, for being here. You're one of my favorite people to speak with, so it's always a pleasure to have you in these conversations. I always learn a lot. We've been partners with Novant for many years as LeanTOS, and so we've seen part of your transformation journey. And in today's session, we'll cover a few topics that are about the transformation journey that you and your team have led, and some of the areas that have been critical to your success and some of the areas you're excited about. So welcome.
Thank you. It's always fun to talk with you. We always have such interesting things to cover.
So to start with, let's get to know you and Novant and your role as Chief Transformation Officer, what that entails first, just so everyone understands that in some detail.
Sure. So when we think about transformation, specifically at Novant Health, we think typically about the changes that we're seeing in how healthcare organizations engage with the communities. We are always focused on increased access to care. We're always focused on continuing to improve the quality of care that our patients receive. And of course, many of the mechanisms by which we can make those changes are digital in nature. So in turn, when we think about expansions of the healthcare space, when we think about adjacencies into which we might move to better serve our patients and communities, those too are fueled oftentimes by digital advance. So when, as we continue to grow out and invest in our digital capability set here, it just made a lot of sense to bundle in business transformation along with the digital advance and expansion of the digital health line of business, organizationally. And that's why you see the title change when it did.
Got it. You know, we heard in your bio that you've had an extensive background outside of healthcare before you came into healthcare. What drew you to healthcare? Why not stay in finance? Why not stay in some of the other industries that you've had experience with?
Well, if you notice, I don't know if you've ever looked at the timeline of my career, probably not. But if you were to do that, you would see that I tend to move into industries that are experiencing some sort of disruption. There is some sort of force either externally or created internally by an appetite for change within an industry or within a company that draw me to the work that's being done. When I joined Novant Health, it was, of course, because I believe in the mission of Novant Health. We are committed to making every member of our communities as healthy as they possibly can be. I mean, it's a fabulous mission. So there's that. I also was drawn to what I believe to be a unique opportunity to make an impact, for me personally to make an impact, because of the appetite that existed at the board level and with our CEO and the executive team for expansion of digital capability in support of our critical goals. I knew I would be able to make a difference. So that's one of the reasons that that healthcare, and particularly Novant Health, was very attractive to me 4 years ago when I joined.
Just as an aside, I would say I relate to a lot of that because I'm not a healthcare insider either. I've only been here for now 6 years, which in healthcare speak isn't that long.
But you're a newcomer too.
I'm a newcomer too. And being able to bring the lessons from other industries and try and bring them to healthcare is a phenomenal thing to do, or at least it's very satisfying. So I completely relate to your reason for picking healthcare as well.
And as you and I have discussed before, it's not that you see a pattern that exists in some other industry and you just sort of lift and shift it. It's not that you're taking playbooks from another industry and you're just ripping a play out of one playbook and sticking it and taping it into ours. It's people who have experiences across a variety of industries, particularly those under transformation, as you and I have discussed before, you know, we're fairly well equipped to come in and assist an industry that finds itself in a changing regulatory environment. Responding to changing customer expectations that are rapidly changing, expanding, responding to and trying to get ahead of disintermediation plays that are coming from a variety of unconventional third parties. You know, these are the sorts of challenges that other industries have had many, many times in their past. And so, if we've transformed and proactively created an environment in which another type of company could thrive in a changing ecosystem, a changing environment, it stands to reason that those are the sorts of people that are going to be able to come in and do well in healthcare, make a big difference in healthcare. I always tell people, and you and I joke, you know, they haven't asked me to see any patients yet.
Thank goodness, as far as I'm concerned. For me, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do.
I wouldn't know what to do. So, I mean, we all have our domain expertise areas and working very closely with these brilliant clinicians has been a privilege. But, you know, they focus on what they do very, very well and enable me to do what my teams and I do very well.
I'll go back to something you said that I find fascinating, where leadership at Novant and you think of transformation fueled by digital, as opposed to this term digital transformation that's so hackneyed and overused. I love that. And I wish the vernacular were widely adopted, frankly, because it's transforming core processes and digital happens to be one way of doing it, right? And process and people are a big part of it, obviously, even with digital. How long would you say Novant has been on this current path of viewing digital as sort of core to the transformation strategy?
So before I joined, so I joined 4 years ago, Novant began a journey, I want to say 10 years ago. And again, I wasn't here, so the timeline may be a little bit off. Began maybe 10, 12 years ago, began a journey to create the foundational capability set in the technology estate that would allow it to be flexible and to be scalable over time. They recognized many years ago that getting its own technology house in order would be important, not just because it simplifies operational complexities that otherwise would exist, but it also creates an environment in which data integrity exists, and a data environment could be then in turn built such that with the advances that are happening in technology, we're able to operate on that data in very interesting ways. So some of that foundational work, you know, had been done. And by the way, in a healthcare organization, as you know, especially when we think about these very large, complex EMR implementations, that work and that investment had happened long before I arrived. So I stepped into a very privileged space. I didn't have to worry about, you know, the integrity of the EMR, how well implemented it was. It was beautifully done. So then when I arrived and my, you know, we added some, brought in a series of new leaders who have helped us understand how to modernize the full estate, not just the EMR space, we were ready to go. There wasn't any makeup work to be done. There wasn't any remedial activity that needed to happen. We were able to just immediately focus on moving forward.
That's great. So the highways were sort of in place and now you could drive new applications and new cars on them. What would you say since your time over the last 4 years, tell us a little bit about the big successes and the big changes that you've brought about and you've seen with your team.
So thank you for asking that. There are a number of things. So we are just now talking about data. We brought in a chief data officer named Carl Hightower. Brilliant. I should have mentioned his name because now people have tried to recruit him. Try to hide him. He's brilliant. He has a brilliant team that he brought on board, and many of whom were still here, but we consolidated all of those teams under the chief data officer. And as a result, he was able to liberate our data from the EMR and move it into an Azure-based data lake, build a robust API layer that sits in front of that. And that is the mechanism by which we operate on massive amounts of data that we have, not just clinical data, but behavioral data and, you know, commercially available data from a variety of sources and other sorts of data that we collect through sensors and the like. And when we have this in one spot, one logical spot that we can, you know, that allows us to build models to predict a lot of really interesting things, we've subsequently had a lot of success. So to give some context for a listener that may be hearing this in the distant future, we're at the very end of 2021. And some of you may remember that the requirement for our team members to have a vaccine for all industries, for many, many industries, has been a hot topic. And at Novant Health, we required, as all healthcare organizations typically have, we've required our team members to be vaccinated or apply for an exception. And then, you know, there's a carefully monitored approach to, you know, granting exceptions. So as we were leading up to the date that we had said, that we either the line in the sand that we drew saying everyone needs to either have a granted exception or the vaccine by this date, we were able to build some really interesting models that allowed us to determine, not accessing clinical data, just accessing our employee data. There was help that helped us predict which job codes in which geographies might be most likely to be vacated by people who chose not to be vaccinated, so that we could start those ramp ups in hiring such that we wouldn't end up with a gap that would impact our patients and communities. So that's the sort of thing that when you think about predictive analytics, that's the sort of thing that's very helpful. Similarly, during the COVID response, you know, being able to predict COVID surges, we have a 2-3 week view into the future across all the geographies that we serve that tell us the likely COVID surge or, you know, state of affairs. That is very, very helpful. Again, when we're dealing with limited resource, understanding where that resource can best be deployed, that's a very important view. And, you know, all sorts of fancy things that we can do with dashboards, looking at the present, and all sorts of fancy analysis that helps us understand what's happened in the past. So having a very sophisticated view from a business decisioning perspective of past, present, and into the future has been extraordinarily differentiating for us. It makes decision-making relatively easy. And that's just on the running of the business. If you apply the same sort of magic to, or math, same thing, math, magic. you apply the same sort of approach to how we think about predicting major health events before they happen. I mean, this has changed everything about the way we think about discharging patients from an ED, for example. You know, we can predict with a very high degree of accuracy the likelihood that a patient will attempt suicide upon discharge. That changes everything about the way we follow up. You know, that changes a lot. So that helps us save lives. We're able to predict readmits for certain cases. These are things that we are constantly focused on. So that whole like magic of data piece is one big grouping of success that we've had as a result. We also are, when we think about access, so that's really more about quality of care, right? But we also are very focused on things related to expanded access. So the digital health line of business has just exploded. And over, you know, when everyone shut down and every healthcare system in the country had to figure out a way to provide digital care to their patients, we were already there. We had a robust offering. We had to train. I think the biggest lift in response to the COVID shutdown was just training a couple thousand, 3,000 physicians rather quickly, which we did over the course of the 24, 48 hours. But now we have an average, of course, I haven't looked in a couple of months, but when I last looked, we were averaging between 1,500 and 2,000 patients a day that were still being seen. I mean, long, you know, over a year after our clinics have, you know, long been opened and back to capacity. So there's a tremendous appetite for in the community for a sort of virtual care. And of course, we enhance the virtual care with advanced sensor capabilities, and we can take vitals remotely. And, you know, we have the same sort of vital collection that's automated that sits in a variety of different third parties, retailers, offices, school, in some cases, school nursing stations that allow us to connect patients wherever they are with quality care when they need it.
Those are excellent examples. Thank you for sharing. And just to reflect back on what you said about the ability to get data out of the EHR and do this math magic, we as LeanTAS have been big beneficiaries of that too, because in working with you, specifically on the OR access and the infusion access side, predicting the mix and volume of patients in the future in your cancer centers, which block owners won't use their time. It does become a lot easier if you have access to the data, and then you can build simple tools, or as I like to call it, speedboats around the major yacht called the EHR. And the way you enable these speedboats is you get sips of data that you need and do the math magic that you were talking about. So those were terrific examples. Thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you too for your team's engagement. I mean, you mentioned our cancer center. It's fun to, you know, give a tour of our stunning new glossy cancer center with the gorgeous views and, you know, how well laid out it is and how, you know, modern the building is and all those sorts of things. But one of the things that's most interesting about it is what's not there, what can't be seen. And that's a big old waiting room outside of the infusion center that does not exist. Yep. Thanks to the LeanTAS engagement, you guys were able to help us predict exactly when the chairs were going to be open so that our patients can walk in at the moment they know the chair will be available. And you know, up until that point, they can be in the lounge, they can, you know, be in the cafeteria, they can be making a call, they can be on a meeting, they can be living their lives, rather than just sitting and waiting and hoping that their name is called next.
But you mentioned a number of great examples in terms of areas that digitization has helped. How do you pick these areas? Obviously, a system as large as Novant, there's probably thousands of projects people want to do. And then what's the framework that, or how do you think about which ones to do? And then how do you build that consensus among stakeholders?
Well, I mean, it's the same as with any investment type. So when we look at, we have a finite amount of investment to make, and we have to look at what will make the biggest difference for our communities, for our patients. And there are times when that investment needs to be made in something that's, secondarily important to the patients. So for example, I talked earlier about some of those foundational investments that were required that allowed us to now operate cleanly on data that's available to us, but that initial investment was not directly serving the patient. The initial investment was setting us up to be able to directly serve the patient. So we think about those investments in those sorts of two ways. There are the things that, if we only ever invested in things that have an impact either at the bedside or at the patient side, wherever the patient may be, at some point we're going to hit a wall. So it's a mix of continuing to shore up the foundation, continuing to expand the underlying capability set that then will allow us to take advantage of the tremendous opportunities that are brought to us regularly by various members of our broad ecosystem of partners. LeanTOS, of course, one of the reasons we're such good friends is that LeanTOS is it has been a great partner for us. And when we had to think about a business problem, that being all of our operating rooms had been shut down, except for emergency surgeries, all of the elective surgeries had been shut down. And we needed to open up and reschedule a backlog of, hundreds, if not thousands of surgeries. And of course, there's a lot of considerations associated with that. It's availability of surgeons, surgical teams, resources of all different sorts, people resources, things resources, rooms, of course, and their availability. Another big math problem, right? And so who had just helped us solve that crazy math problem related to not having a waiting room in our infusion center? LeanTOS had. So it wasn't a surprise that you stepped up and helped us with the automating the refilling of those ORs. We were up and running and those ORs were full right away, which was a tremendous gift. And you and other partners in our ecosystem are, and the optimal engagement with those partners is part of our secret sauce at Novant Health.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Becker's Healthcare podcast series, in particular, the LeanTOS episodes. LeanTOS sponsored this episode, and we're greatly thankful to LeanTOS. To see the full conversation between Angela and Sajeev, register for the Transform Hospital Operations Virtual Summit at Becker's Hospital Review. That will take place December 7th to 8th. You can also tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page. In any event, thank you so much to LeanTOS, a magnificent company, and Angela and Novant, a magnificent health system, for joining us today. Thank you very much.